The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the player cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. This is part two of our look at the Mystic cards. We are going to review Winds of Power, Foresight, Occult Theory, and Parallel Fates 2. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Autofail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder thing, respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token, while cards that we believe are destined to end up on the optional list of taboos or that are just bad for the game get a Curse Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Special thanks to Cole Monroe Chitty for the amazing art that graces the channel, Nicole Fiscus for the new Whisper in Darkness logo, and Nate Lost in Time and Space for the intro as well as the overlays. Thank you so much, I couldn't do it without you. Welcome back to our review of the player cards in Edge of the Earth. This is part two of the Mystic cards. We are going to kick things off with Winds of Power. It is a two-cost event that costs one experience point, two willpower skill icons. The spirit trait, place two charges on an asset you control. As a response, after you draw Winds of Power during your turn, play it. Nice art of Akachi on this one. We don't see that many cards with Akachi on them, so it's always nice to see a card with her. Of course, Akachi's probably in the card because of all of the investigators who deal with charges in the game. She's number one. Cards that add or place charges on assets are still very relatively rare in this game, and more often than not, they come with some sort of catch. I'm thinking here specifically of Recharge, which, while it will give you three charges, you have to pull from the Chaos Bag. And should you pull one of the special tokens, you not only don't get the charges, but you lose the asset too, which is pretty painful. There is Enraptured, which is a skill, but which will give you a charge, but you need to pass an intellect skill test, which, again, for most mystics is not the easiest of skill tests to pass in the world. You do get a free action out of this if you draw it during your turn. The obvious problem with this being, of course, is that mystics are not drawn for card draw, and this has the spirit trait, not the spell trait. So the mystic's main way of drawing cards is usually Arcane Initiate, and so I really don't know how often you're going to trigger this during your turn.
Sounds like a Norman thing, like that was specifically for Norman.
Mm-hmm. Oh, possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Winds of Power? You don't like this card, Nate.
Yeah, it just feels a little too expensive, in my opinion. Like, you're trading two resources and a card for two charges, which is, like, almost a spell at that point. And it's like, you could just play another spell, you know? And it's like, it does have two willpower icons, which is nice. I guess it depends on what you're putting the charges on. You know, if you're putting the charges on a Shriveling, that's pretty good. You know, Shriveling level 5, that's obviously a little better. You know, so it depends.
I think this is a fine card because I think for the most part it's just Recharge, but more stable and works. As opposed to, whereas Recharge, you got to, like, pull a token and you have a risk and all that. I don't really see much point of the after you draw it during your turn play it, except someone needed to add some more text because that's a pretty empty, it's a pretty empty text box without that.
Yeah, yeah, it feels like flavor text aside from Norman.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad this is in the game. I'm glad it has two willpower icons. So, like, if nothing else, you could drop your guts, two copies of guts for this, you know, upgrade out of guts, and you got some more utility there. Yeah, it depends on what you're doing. I mean, I wouldn't use this on any spell, but...
I don't know. I'd almost keep guts in my deck because guts combos with this card.
True.
Because you pass a willpower skill.
You have that option.
Draw it,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. Look, the icons aren't bad. It's only one XP. It's a fine card. I mean, I'm thinking, Seal of the Seventh Sign? Yeah, that's the type of card I think of when I think of adding charges.
Yeah,
Ooh, two
totally.
charges. Yeah, seems good. Oh, it's
Father
fine.
Mateo might like it if that's the case. If that's like the Mateo deck you're building, then all of a sudden this becomes a lot more appealing. So I think it depends.
Yeah, I
And it's
think.
like, worst comes to worst, like, putting a couple extra charges on your shriveling is pretty good.
Oh, it just hit me. Guess what? It doesn't say spell. You can put it on any asset. Red clock, baby.
Oh, jeez.
I think when you're comparing this to recharge, besides the pulling the token, which can totally wreck you, and you do have to play around to a certain extent. I mean, there is premonition that you can use to deal with recharge, so you know when it's safe to recharge and when it isn't. Recharge is free, and I believe it costs 2 XP. And premonition's a pretty good card that a lot of mystics play, so it's not you're not really going out of your way to put recharge in your deck. This one seems fine. I don't know if I would buy this. I don't know if I've ever needed cards that add charges to stuff like this all that often.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know.
I
I mean, I
figure my
usually
point
just
is.
end up playing, like you say, Nate, I usually just end up playing my other copy of whatever spell I happen to be using. And I mean, because the way the Mystic card pool has grown, whereas in the beginning, back in the dark times, shriveling was all you had. You had 4 shriveling charges, and they were like gold. Now you've got Spectral Razor, which you can use to kill just about anything to save those charges. So the need to actually buy more is lessened by the bigger card pool. So I don't know. I might like this card more if it had the spell trait, simply so you could get it with Arcane Initiate occasionally. That doesn't seem broken. And maybe tack an extra XP on it, put it at 2, and say it's a spell that you can draw and reasonably play for free. That doesn't seem crazy to me, but I'm no designer.
If it had the spell trait, it would definitely be a lot better just with its interaction with Arcane Initiate, but as it stands, I think the other issue with it is kind of what you were alluding to earlier, is that like what are you cutting out of your deck for this card? Like you're not gonna cut something like Spectral Razor or Drawn to the Flame a lot of the time, so there's also that to consider. And I don't think I'm cutting a card like Spectral Razor for this.
Well, you could just buy Forced Learning and play that as well.
You could. That's true.
I just have to put that in there for Matt, because I know that you would play Forced Learning in every deck if you
Yeah.
could.
I wish it was
The
neutral.
problem.
How
That's the
do
problem
we
with red
rate
flag.
Winds of Power?
I'd give this thing an elder thing. I think what saves it for me is that it has two willpower skill icons. So you can replace guts if you want to with it, and it's fine.
I give it a 0. If you need the effect, it's not bad. If you don't need the effect, don't play it.
Yeah, I don't think I can go as low as Elder Thing on this one. I think 0 is it's fine. I don't see myself purchasing this, especially again, down the rabbit hole adds an XP to this. And I don't think at 2 XP it's worthwhile. It's just gonna say that about every card except the one I really dislike in this box. Yeah, it's fine. Again, I've played many, many, many games as Mystic, and I've done pretty well without adding charges to things. So this has a place probably somewhere, but I haven't needed this. I don't think I've ever bought recharge. So I don't know. If I
I
didn't
have.
need that, I may not need this. So yeah, it's fine. The next card in the box is Foresight. It is a free event that costs 1 experience point, 2 intellect skill icons, and the augury trait. It is fast. Play when an investigator at your location would draw a card from their deck or from the encounter deck. Name a card. If the drawn card is the named card, that investigator may either choose one, cancel that card's effect and discard it, or immediately play that card at a -2 cost. What do we think about Foresight?
So there's this ally called Alyssa Graham that really likes this card. There's also this investigator named Gloria Winberg, or Gloria Goldberg, that really likes this card as well. If you're playing those cards, this card is awesome. It also has two intellect skill icons. Oh, that's also a plus for me.
Norman.
Oh, yeah. Yep, Norman as well. That's another obvious one. This can kind of work as like a pseudo emergency cash or crack the case or something like that if you need to play something off the top of your deck for cheaper.
And but he can cancel a basic weakness with it.
True. That's pretty cool. Matt looks like he needs to say something.
Here we go. Okay. Just going to say this. I think there's it's probably a design oversight here. Throughout the history of the game, they have been very strict about canceling weaknesses. Ward of Protection 2 cannot cancel weaknesses. Ward of Protection 5 cannot cancel weaknesses. Lots and lots of encounter card cancellation cannot cancel weaknesses. I think they forgot to add the non-weakness on here. And I really hope they clarify that, because if this can cancel weaknesses, this will be like one of the like very, very few effects that can cancel weaknesses. And the fact that it means that Norman can just boop cancels weaknesses. Like,
I don't think he can cancel his signature weakness. Oh, not his signature. Harbinger. No, he could cancel
all his other weaknesses. Just boop.
That remains to be seen. It does seem like an oversight. They have been very, very careful about weakness cancellation. So the fact that this 1XP, this free, fast 1XP card can do something that has not existed in the game before seems very suspect.
Yeah, it's suspect. Yeah, exactly. It's pretty suspect. So assuming that the intention was not that you can cancel weaknesses. I've seen this card in action, actually, in Daisy very well. Basically, are you playing? Do you know what the top card of your deck is? If that's true, this is efficient. Play this. If you're not playing cards like Eureka or Old Book of Lore or Parallel Fates, you know, that let you look at the top cards of your deck, don't play this. It's more fuel. It's a nice payoff for the Gloria Goldberg style. Look at the encounter deck, scrying, cancellation thing. So it's not bad.
Just in the basics, I mean, it's free, it's fast, it costs 1 XP and gives you 2 intellect skill icons. That's a pretty good starting point. Obviously, this has synergy with Norman, who always knows the top card of his deck. So this generates some not only action advantage, but resource advantage in him, because he can play an asset basically as a free action and for less, which is always nice. We've already discussed the potential that this can cancel a basic weakness for him, which seems kind of outrageous, but who knows, that might be maybe we'll get that in the revised FAQ that answers the whole geared up backpack issue definitively. Again, down the rabbit hole makes this more cost more XP. Gloria likes this as well. If you're going all in on the Gloria encounter deck control or the Gloria encounter deck control deck, the fact that she probably knows what the top card of the encounter deck is most of the time, and she can simply say, name that card, and bang, it's gone. So the cards she hasn't been able to get rid of before, this gives her another bite at the apple. Seems pretty good. How would we rate this one?
I mean, this one seems like a solid bless token to me. You have to build around being able to manipulate the deck, or you have to be Norman, pretty much. So it really sort of limits its usefulness. But in the decks that you're going to include it in, it's going to do some pretty good work for you. I mean, it's a ward of protection with upside.
Yeah, and even without looking at the encounter card cancellation, just the immediately play a card at -2 cost, you can kind of compare that to Uncage the Soul in its action efficiency there. So the way I look at it is like, if are you running things like, you know, Old Book of Lore or Eureka and able, or Norman, and able to look at the top card of your deck? If yes, this will give you some fuel. And but if you're not, if you don't have ways of knowing what you're going to draw, and you don't have ways of knowing what the encounter deck's going to look like, don't play this. It's a bless token.
Yeah, I'd agree. This is a bless. Unless you've got a way to know what the card is, blindly guessing is not going to get you very far. So if you've got the tools already in your deck, if you're playing Norman or Gloria or any combination of cards that now let you know what you're, what's on top of your deck, then this is something to look at. If you're not playing any of those cards, then that brings us to the Mystic skill. This is Occult Theory. One cost of one experience point skill, practiced and expert. While Occult Theory is in your hand or committed to a skill test, it gains willpower skill icons equal to your intellect and intellect skill icons equal to your willpower. So for most mystics, this has 2 to 3 willpower skill icons and 4 to 5 intellect skill icons. We've been pretty enthusiastic about all of these skills. I'm somewhat less enthusiastic about this one, largely because mystics don't really need the intellect skill icons. They don't use intellect for a great deal. Like, they don't really investigate with intellect. Most of the mystics use their willpower to do everything. So adding, say, 5 intellect skill icons. There are treacheries that require intellect, but I don't know if I would purchase this just to deal with that when I've got Ward of Protection to deal with that. I guess it could be helpful in those deck, like another backup card, say, of course, again, you're playing a mystic, you're relying on your willpower, you're hoping to draw the right asset, you come up short at the beginning of the game, you draw your Shriveling instead of your Rite of Seeking or Sixth Sense. This can sort of fill the gap. It gives you a ton of intellect skill icons to pick up a clue, but I don't know. I'm less enthusiastic about this one.
I think it's actually much better in off-class mystics. Like Daisy really likes this card because it gives her a ton of willpower skill icons to be able to like push through that final like Shriveling attack or something like that. I kind of agree with you, but I still think it's pretty good. You know, like, worst comes to worst, it is grabbing a clue, which is fine. Or, like, you can commit it to somebody else's test, and then it's still getting a bunch of icons.
Yeah, I
think it's good.
Yeah, I admit I'm also less excited by this one, because, you know, for all the reasons you said there, Man from Lang, that Mystic, a lot of your traditional Mystic, your objective is to not have to take intellect tests at all. In which case, you know, you don't need this. But I also do see your point, Nate, about considering this like a, it's like a zero cost way to like grab a clue, you know, like make that investigate land. So there is that too. I don't know if I would run this over Guts in a Mystic though, because Mystic lacks card draw and they kind of, Guts really helps like effectively shrink that deck, you know, because Mystic doesn't exactly have like Lucky Cigarette Case or Seeker or anything like that, you know, so.
Yeah,
and,
true.
And again, like we've talked about, this one does have the practice trait, but doesn't synergize with any of the previous practice tech, like Practice Makes Perfect or Amanda Sharp or stuff like that. So,
yeah, this one just doesn't have an obvious use case, you know, like a lot of, like some of the other ones do.
There are certain campaigns that have intellect skill icons on treachery cards, and that can be very annoying for mystics to deal with, and that this card can be pretty nice in those situations.
That's true.
So how would we rate this one?
I'm going to give this one a 0. I think it's fine. Yeah. You know, I don't think it's for every mystic or off-class mystic, but for investigators like Daisy or maybe even someone like Luke, this is okay. You know, because those investigators may actually use their intellect and can get a pretty decent willpower boost out of it to boot.
I'd also give it a 0. It's fine. If you have a use for both icons, it's nice to have a pile of, nice to have a pile of icons to throw into a test. I especially like the idea of, being like Daisy and you're adding 5 to a willpower test. That's pretty good for definitely passing that Rotting Remains. Yeah, so it's fine.
Yeah, I would agree. I'm less excited by this one than, say, Savant or even Defensive Stance for what it does. Skill tests that require, or treacheries that require intellect tests, are still relatively rare. If you'd played a campaign and you knew one was coming, I might consider picking this up just in case, because it's not like it's going to go to waste. You can still use it to pick up a clue if necessary, but I think I'd give this one a zero as well. It's just not as dazzling as Savant with all those wild skill icons.
Yeah. Mm. It is pretty good in Norman, too. You know, he is one mystic that is going to use his intellect.
Oh, true. Okay. Yeah.
And this does give him, what, 5 willpower skill icons as well? So that's a lot. Cool. That's almost overkill, I think, a lot of the time. Like, that's the thing with a lot of these cards is that it's sometimes it's just a lot, way over the top, at least in an easier standard. I mean, if you're playing hard and expert, then these things, man, the value goes up quite a bit just for the sheer number of icons. But yeah, I'm kind of meh about this one. But that brings us to Parallel Fates. This is the level 2 version. The level 0 version of Parallel Fates is available in the Jacqueline Fine starter deck. This is a free event that costs 2 experience points. It has willpower and wild skill icons. It has the augury trait. Look at the top 6 cards of the investigator's deck or the encounter deck. You may either then return them to the top of the deck in any order or shuffle them into the deck. If you looked at an investigator deck, that investigator may draw 1 card. So the biggest differences here between the level 0 version and this one is that you may look at either the encounter deck or any investigator's deck at any location. The level 0 version didn't allow you to look at investigator decks. The level 0 version forced you to draw from the chaos bag, which could have made the whole exercise moot because it would have forced you to reshuffle everything into the deck. This doesn't do that. And if you look at an investigator deck, you draw a card to boot. This synergizes very well with Gloria Goldberg's ability. She gets to look at 7 cards in the encounter deck. Basically, remove the one she doesn't like and then reorder the rest of the deck, which is pretty powerful. And I will, since I have mentioned it with every other card, this is one of only 4 upgrades in the box that actually works with Down the Rabbit Hole. So hooray for that. What do you guys think about Parallel Fates?
The difference between this and the level 0 version is night and day.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Just take the level 0 version and just write this on it with Sharpie. Yeah.
Though I don't know if you're going to need 4 copies of this card. Like, it's pretty specific in what it does. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, like, never mind. Like, outside of those, like, encounter deck manipulation decks, this card doesn't really do a lot. You know, like, sure, you can look at a player's deck and, you know, manipulate it, and maybe help them find something faster.
There is something to be said about being able to look at the top 6 cards of your own deck and reorder it, so you kind of, like, pick when your weakness is coming. Oh man, my Lola Hayes background is totally showing here. Like, if I could afford this in Lola, afford 2xp in Lola Haze, this is totally going in, because, like, I want to know when I'm going to get my weakness so I can not draw it or just, like, avoid it. But
or switch roles to avoid it.
Exactly. Switch roles to a safe role when it comes up. Ha-ha! You know, that's, like, the ultimate Lola feeling right there when you pull that off. But, like, it's not bad. I don't know if it's worth 2xp to just look at the top 6 cards of your deck and pick one. Although, on the other hand, compare it to No Stun Unturned level 0, where you look at the top, like, 5 or 6 for, and it costs 2, you know, and you get to pick one of them. Yeah, I guess if you compare it to No Stone Unturned level 0. So, like, at its base level, Parallel Fates is fine. I don't know if it's worth 2 XP. Probably worth 1, but it's fine. And then if you look at the top 6, if you can basically predict 2 turns in 3-player, or, like, 3 turns in 2-player of encounter cards and, like, decide who gets what when, that's not bad either.
I think in solo it's kind of nuts.
Oh, and solo is nuts. Yeah, you know exactly what's coming. And then what you do is you just bury the ones you don't like, and then you play another Parallel Fates and you bury them some more, you know, when you get closer to them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my biggest concern with this card is in solo play with Gloria. The average game is, say, 12, maybe 13, 14 turns, looking at the top 7 is half the game.
Yeah, it's true.
And this is not the only tool in Gloria's toolbox to manipulate the encounter deck. And I don't know if we're there yet, but I feel as though the designers dabbled with encounter deck manipulation in Lord of the Rings to the point that you were able to build a deck that removed the entire encounter deck from the game, thus nullifying half the game. I don't know if we're at that point yet in Arkham Horror, but I feel as though Gloria, with this, if I'm playing solo, I look at the top seven, I get rid of one card I don't like, I bury the rest, I reorder the rest, barring a you must reshuffle the encounter discard pile into the encounter deck when the agenda advances. You have perfect knowledge of what's going to happen for most of the game. Then you can play another Parallax Fates after the reshuffle happens, and you know what's going to happen for the second half of the game. Yeah. Combine this with some of the other tools she has at her disposal, say scrying or anything like that, and I don't know if we're at the point where she has perfect control, but these types of cards worry me. Because if you just get... Yeah. I don't think it's an issue in multiplayer because you're drawing four cards a turn and you're quickly going to draw through the six that you've set up. But in solo, man, this is pretty potent. And I was looking at it and I've written here on my notes, thankfully it has the augury trait and not the spell trait, because... then she could buy Devermis Mysterious and recycle this thing so you get to play it four times a game, which seems obscene to me. But I haven't built that deck. I don't know if it works as well as I think it does in my head, but that's just my concern is all as a solo player. But the nice thing is that it is the power in solo is, I mean, I simply don't have to play it, right? If you know, it's not
solo's a little different because if it's only like super crazy in solo, that's fine because I can see this as being like kind of like an achievement run where you try to like take control of the encounter deck and you you know, and you play a bunch of cards like Scrolls of Secrets and Parallel Fates to try to like control the encounter deck, and you kind of go on your little like stealth mission through the scenario to like avoid all the nasty encounter cards. I mean, there's some fun to be had there, you know, like the. But no, I think it's a fine card. Well, one thing I have to note, like even in like 2 and 3 player, like, okay, so if you play this to look at someone's deck and being able to dodge weaknesses is nice, you're kind of action neutral there. But if you look at the encounter deck, you're kind of action negative, so to speak. You know, like you've spent an action and you haven't stopped any encounter cards from showing up. You've just rearranged them. So like it seems fine in that regard. So... yeah, it seems fine.
But and I think if you say, I mean, the most action intensive cards in the encounter deck are the enemies. And if you are able to say delay those enemies' arrival, you are in effect saving yourself.
Oh, I agree.
Actions down the road that you would have had to have spent either shooting it, killing it, or evading it.
Yeah. No, I agree, and I'm just saying, I think for like 2 XP and the fact that it doesn't like cancel any encounter cards, like it doesn't put you action positive, tempo positive, so to speak. Like, it's probably fine. Yeah.
I guess my main concern is that while I could see this getting abused in solo and it's, you know, it's easy enough to avoid that by simply avoiding, if you don't want to play that deck, you don't have to. The more cards like this that we receive, I feel
they all combo with each other, don't they?
They all combo with each other. And so how long does it take before in multiplayer you reach a point where somebody shows up at the table with a Gloria deck and everybody just groans because they know what's coming? It's like, we're going to play that. We're going to sit down and play this game and it's just going to be a cakewalk because...
defined by whether Gloria can take total control of the encounter deck. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So while I don't have an issue with this card in particular, it's just the designers have been very careful about how many of these encounter deck control cards we've received, probably because of their experience with Lord of the Rings and seeing what happened there. And
oh, they ratted the heck out of all that, by the way.
Yeah, they did.
Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, they had to go in and just rip it all out because it was just it was too much. That's just my concern. I don't necessarily think this is the card that breaks the camel's back, but it puts strain on the camel's back. Let's put it that way. Yeah. How would we rate this one?
You know, I was kind of like, while you guys were talking, I was thinking about like a world where you play Gloria and maybe someone like Diana Stanley or Sister Mary. And now all of a sudden you have two investigators kind of doing this effect, like kind of in sequence with one another. And I can imagine a collective groan, like you said, man, from like just from the other two players sitting at the table. And
or speaking of Sister Mary, what if you have Gloria controlling the encounter deck, Sister Mary controlling the chaos bag, and you've now taken two elements of the game basically out. We're going to fill it with blessed tokens and we're going to nullify the encounter deck.
And let's not talk about the other class that could be at the table that can nullify all the movement.
So, you know, for reasons like that, I'm kind of like, but I think by and large, most people that play this game generally don't do stuff like that. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I think by and large, most people tend to play the game either for like role-playing reasons. Most people don't power game, and I think that this card is fine in those circumstances. I'll give it a bless token tentatively. I do see where you're coming from, man, from Lang, and that there is concern to be had once you start tinkering around with, you know, the difficulty modulars of the deck of the of the game, but I think this card's fine.
Yeah, I can see why it'd be a bless. I think at its base level it's like a zero, but yeah, because it's fine, but yeah, bless token. Sounds good. Yeah. It's a tool in that box if you're gonna manipulate the encounter deck.
I think bless token is where I end up on this one. It's probably, if I was picking solo, I'd say this might be a plus one in a solo deck.
Fair. Yeah.
Just because of the ability to reorganize so many cards in the encounter deck. But yeah, I feel like Gloria is, like you say, Nate, it doesn't really do a whole lot per se. It sort of pushes encounter cards and weaknesses down the road, but it doesn't necessarily nullify them straight out.
If you're playing that, though, you're also going to be playing Ward of Protection and Foresight and probably Ward of Radiance if you're playing with Sister Mary as well. Then all of a sudden you have like 6 to 8 cards that just straight up cancel things for the encounter deck, and it can get pretty gross. So I don't know. And then if you have 2 people that have access to Ward level 2, and then
Yeah, I do kind of like this because you can reach out and you know, it might be it's a nice kind of helper tool if, say, your guardian is off doing guardian things and he's just like, well, crap, I can't draw my weapon. And you're like, well, let me give you a hand with that. I can maybe find it for you. That's pretty nice. It's a nice effect that you can just reach out and help anybody at the table. You don't necessarily need to manipulate the encounter deck. And that person gets to draw the card. So it's just like, hey, I looked through the top 6 cards of your deck. I found your weapon, and here it is. You get to draw it. You're welcome. And, you know, that's nice. It's a nice effect to have. You don't need to be necessarily get into the abusive strategies with this one. So that's going to do it for part 2 of our look at the Mystic cards in the Edge of the Earth Investigator expansion. If you agree or disagree with us, let us know in the comments down below. We are always interested in hearing what you have to say and your experiences with these cards. Any final thoughts on this batch?
I really want to play that Alyssa Graham Foresight deck now.
Hell yeah, man. Yeah, this batch of cards seems very, like, focused. You know, Winds of Power is like, you play it if you have an asset that you want to use it on. And then Parallel Fates and Foresight are like, if you're playing the deck manipulation strategy, please work with that. Yeah. Focused cards. Specialists.
Yeah, well, I guess this time around, all of the new Mystic Triad are all multi-class cards, so I guess they had to branch out and come up with some cards that didn't necessarily fight, investigate, or evade. So we get some cards that deal with some of the other Mystic traditional Mystic things, like adding charges and no Chaos Bag manipulation, which is kind of surprising given that's a pretty strong Mystic theme. But certainly, with Gloria's arrival at some point down the line, encounter deck manipulation is going to be a thing they do. As a side note, I should just mention we don't know what Gloria's signature weaknesses and stuff do, so that might be the safety valve that protects us from really abusive encounter deck manipulation strategies. But that's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.